And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Keys are here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Row, fresh off the first day of the NCAA tournament, live in Lexington, Kentucky. Over under 3.5 hours of sleep for Rex Road. I don't know the answer, but I ask you, Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Yeah, over. Not a lot over, but over. But doing all right, except that, you know, my building yesterday had to be the most ass building in NCAA history, like four total terrible games.
Not very good.
But worse than that, the freaking Vols game is at 9:40 p.m. on Saturday. Like, I'm going to be mad about it all day. So just fair warning. I'm angry.
Are they trying to tap into that California market out there with UCLA?
I mean, it has to be it, you know. You know, you can start. I mean, everybody here was convinced we were going to get the solo, you know, noon game, which, you know, if you go Auburn, Creighton, you do the noon game, and then the UCLA game's, you know, basically around 3, which is around noon West Coast time, which, you know, I mean, what do people on a Saturday in LA, don't they like that? No,
I guess not.
So yay,
good for
but
you.
Someone's got to do it. Yeah,
I guess so. You know, I'm mad too. I'm walking out of Bridgestone Arena last night around 10:30, and Nick Keyser tells me he's bringing in donuts this morning. Do you think there's donuts anywhere in the studio this morning, Joe? The answer's no. Not a single donut.
What happened?
It was closed. I'm sorry.
Told me it was open.
The lights weren't on. I know. I've brought them before. I will redeem myself.
I'm just telling you what was told me 7 hours ago.
What is the place? I thought it's no free ads, Joe.
Okay, that's a good point. Is it a
chain
place? Golly,
you've been on me before. What now?
Yeah. Well, is it like a widespread chain place, or is it like a local place?
No, it's a local place. Yeah. It's right across the street from where I live.
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds good. Sounds like it would have been awesome.
Empty promises from Nick Keyser.
And they make ball donuts just for Robbie Stanley, too, because I've bought them.
Exactly. So, empty promises from Keyser.
Interesting how you
last night.
Well, interesting how he makes those plans when he knows I'm going to be out of town. That's
it is also, you know, I didn't think about that, but also, you know, bringing in some food when Rex Road's not here. Had you done it? Disrespect either way. A lot of disrespect. I mean,
that's
I did
true.
The Rob rant yesterday, Joe, and he played the Rex rant open. There's a lot of disrespect going on behind the glass, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to put up with it.
Deezer, your thoughts?
I'll do better.
Yes.
As TD tells me sometimes,
I'll improve.
Do better. Just do better, young fella.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good stuff.
It's always that for me, you know.
So, Joe, we began with Tennessee in a game where Wofford hung around for a little while, but it really never felt like Tennessee was not in control of the game yesterday. They win 77-62 to punch their ticket to the round of 32. Chaz Lanier, 29 points. He goes 11 of 22 from the field, 6 of 13 from 3. Ziegler with 12 points, also had 12 assists as well. So a very Zakai Ziegler-like game yesterday against Wofford. Overall, what did you make of the Vols, their opening round win, and their performance in the first round of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, and one, you know, pretty cool thing for Ziegler, becomes Tennessee's all-time assist leader with that. And record holder, whose name is eluding me and I'm going to get it, was there last night. So he like came back there on the locker room and you know, and took a picture with Zakai and talked to him a little bit, and he had the record since 1978. So you're talking about a record that lasted a long time. So that was a cool thing. But I mean, it was Johnny Darden. So 726 career assists. That is a lot of assists. So he's the all-time leader in Tennessee history, so it's cool that he got that record. But I think the biggest thing for them is, Chaz Lanier, man. You know, he answered every run, and he's obviously he has to be not hesitant ever to shoot. And that's at times this year Rick Barnes has had to get on him for that. But his release is so quick. And the thing about it is, you know, he's obviously a very good catch and shoot guy. You know, he's not Dalton Kinect. It'll be on and on and on, you know, until their season's over. The comparison is natural just because he steps into that transfer who has to lead them in scoring role. But, yeah, the way you can put it on the bounce too and hit the mid range, you know, if need be, it's quite a weapon. So I think that was the biggest thing, you know, Igor Milicic, little bit of a step forward, but I tell you what, man, and I mean, we can get into the UCLA game, you know, they've got a guy at the four who is going to be a real problem for him, and it's going to be just for Tennessee in general, and it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how they handle that. But overall, I mean, a good opening, you know, game for them, and for the most part, offensively, I think defensively they made some mistakes, more than you'd want, but offensively, very good, and that's, you know, that's obviously kind of the bigger question here, right?
Yes. Milicic just got called for another, like, illegal screen, Joe, and I thought Rick Barnes was going to throw a chair on the floor, and I couldn't tell if it was at him or if it was at the official, but old Reverend Rick was upset about that one.
He was. There was another point where he, you know, he got screened and gave up a three to Seville's for Wofford, and, I mean, I could hear across the court, and you know, but the next time down he got through that screen. He saw it. He saw the baseline screen, you know, pinned down. He got through it, and then, you know, they got to stop. I talked to him after the game, and I think the quote he said was, "I'm not going to trip if he wants to yell at me." So there you go. He's not tripping. He knows he's getting yelled at. So, but he's got to continue. Like, he's got to. I think he made a concerted effort to rebound and defend, because that's what he has to do. I mean, he has to do that, and he has to be an offensive factor too. It's a big, big day for him Saturday.
Big day for him Saturday, and Tennessee will take on UCLA in the second round. Now, UCLA yesterday just absolutely destroys Utah State, 72-47, the final in that one. It was an interesting day in the SEC, Joe. So you already had Texas going down in the first four. And then yesterday, Missouri goes down as well. Georgia gets smoked by Gonzaga. Now, Arkansas did take down Kentucky, so you've got that going for you if you're the league. You know, obviously, Auburn wins by 20 against Alabama State, although that one was somewhat interesting for a while, and Tennessee wins as well. But what did you make overall of the way that the SEC has fared to this point?
Yeah, I mean, Missouri hurts for sure. Missouri, I mean, I had Missouri going to the Sweet 16.
Same.
In fact, I might have had them in the Elite Eight. I mean, you know, everybody's bracket, I'm sure. I mean, it's not like it was even that crazy of a day. Basically, Drake and McNeese were the big stunners. I had it wrong. I had High Point. Well, actually, I had High Point and McNeese winning my bracket, but I have High Point going to the Sweet 16, so I screw that up too. But anyway, I know we don't want to hear about my bracket.
You're the nation's leading bracketologist, so we can probably hear about yours.
That is true. That is a very good point. No, I mean, the Missouri one hurts. You know, it's like you lose some of these lower teams, and it's going to happen. And, you know, Georgia, it's like 100-0 right away. I forgot them. I mean, they fought back, you know, in that game, but the terrible start, you know. Oh, boy. Hold on. I'm so unprepared. I might turn off here. Just let's hope I don't.
So far, so good.
Am I here? Am I still here?
You're there.
So not great. I mean.
I think we lost him. He was worried about getting lost. I think we lost him there at the end. Rex Rhodes been zapped from the first segment. He'll be back with us here momentarily. We'll take your thoughts on the opening round of the NCAA tournament. We got more games to get to today, including Vanderbilt. We'll get into that a little bit later in the program with Vanderbilt's matchup against St. Mary's today. Tennessee takes down Wofford 77-62. They advance to take on UCLA on Saturday, the late night game starting at 8:40 here locally. Take your thoughts on that matchup, what you saw from Tennessee in the opening round. Later in the show, Andrew Burnett with some strong words for his hockey team. after yet another loss last night. We're going to get into that a little bit later this hour as well. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock, and TD for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock as well. We'll have all that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Come play hooky with 102.5, 106.3 The Game today at Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Today we're going to be broadcasting from the Boomba's Spring Hill location. Come enjoy award-winning pizza, handcrafted beverages, win prizes, and watch the basketball games with us as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. What a first segment. Rex Road got zapped off the end of it there. He's back with us now. Had audio issues on YouTube. Keezer got those fixed. Still didn't bring donuts, but we're off to a roaring start here on this Friday morning, Joe.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, even if it wasn't like a crazy week like this, I feel like the 6 a.m., the very first segment of a Friday, is probably the most allowable bleep show, right, of the whole week.
Sure.
So, happy Friday, everybody.
Apparently, in the first segment, I also said that Arkansas beat Kentucky, which they did not do. They beat Kansas. So.
Yeah, anyway, close enough. Close enough. That was a big win. That was a big win for the SEC. You know, for one thing, it's an upset. Vanderbilt can do the same thing today with a 10-7. But, you know, the whole Cal South Patino. Now you get Cal Patino. Oh, baby.
Oh, boy. That one's going to be interesting. First off, St. John's just handles business yesterday. They're very good, particularly on defense. So going to be interesting to see what Arkansas can do in that matchup. But, yeah, like if you're a Kentucky fan, how are you feeling about that one with Coach Cal taking on Rick Pitino? A battle of Kentucky legends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good question. I know that Kentucky fans probably were – nauseous yesterday as I walked in the building and it's just a Louisville home game and they're all like Junie's in there all excited and then you know it, late in the game with Louisville losing, you know, like they're done. Creighton kicked their butt. Creighton, by the way, is going to beat Auburn's butt if Auburn doesn't wake the hell up. But the camera, like the arena camera, panned to like a Kentucky fan in the arena, like pointing at the Kentucky, and oh my god, the Louisville, like just an insult to injury, man. After one of their fans also threw a water bottle on the floor and got ejected nice. From the building.
Good stuff. I mean, yeah. you did kind of get the raw end of the deal yesterday with your viewing at that place. Not very good games for you to experience yesterday.
First time in my life, it was ass. Front to back. I mean, I've never had four games that sucked. I've never had that. So I'm just like, okay. I mean, it helped me. Like, I would be way more tired now if, like, UCLA, Utah State was good.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, you don't get timeouts. You just, boom, get through these games. By the way, are people noticing, you know, that even though we have longer timeouts, longer halftimes, that these games are like they're getting these games in there. You know, I think they're taking it seriously. I mean, I could be missing one that was like painful with the reviews, but for the most part,
I thought it was pretty good.
They've done a pretty good job here, and I think they, you know, like they understand like people are sick of this stuff. So I kudos to the NCAA, you know, for the officials and everybody for kind of keeping these things moving.
What did you make of Gonzaga just absolutely steamrolling Georgia yesterday?
You know, Gonzaga is Gonzaga was my pick on the season to win it all. And I look at their players and like, I'm like, yep, that's the team I picked to win it all with Nembhard and Hickman. And they got bigs everywhere. They've got talent. That, you know, KenPom, they've been top 10 all year. And again, that's your efficiency. And that's, you know, both sides of the ball, and it is adjusted for opponent and all that stuff. I mean, KenPom has been telling us all year that they're, like, basically a three seed, you know. But, like, you know, St. Mary's beat them in the West Coast, and they just they didn't win most of their big games. They're absolutely dangerous. They're absolutely capable of making a run right now. And so it's a bad draw for Georgia, but you can't come out in these games – it's so rare that a team comes out, gets punched in the mouth like that, and then recovers. Like, you have to be ready. And Georgia looked like a team that, frankly, had a bunch of dudes who'd never played in this tournament before.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, Robbie and Joe? Hey, Joe, did you see Jonas Ayew looking elite last night?
Hey, man, he's been playing like that. And, you know, it's funny because there's been a lot of, especially from some of these homers who cover the balls, you know, a lot of like, Jonas must be regretting things. And it's like, last night we're in the Tennessee locker room, and basically, like, it's on the TV, and we all, and like the players and all of us just turn the coaches all just sitting in the Tennessee locker room watching that game. And I mean, it was cool because they were excited for him. He is absolutely balling. I mean, they would not be here without him. So it's good to see because, first of all, he got paid a lot to go there. I mean, you know, and it's like, I wouldn't regret that. Like, I mean, it's you know, you got to make business decisions. I don't think Jonas Ayew is going to have a long NBA career. He's one of those guys who isn't quite an NBA big, right? But I've wondered all year why it hasn't been working out. Now you can see it. I mean, he's a key to their whole thing. So good for him.
Well, Cal did an interview, and he's like, I didn't know exactly the verbiage he was using, but something about a zone, and they had to go to Jonas. And I'm like, good for Jonas, dude. Like, I mean, he wasn't like that as a ball. And you kind of wonder, like, what happened to that guy? And then, boom, he shows up in the biggest moment. And that Dickinson or whatever, like, he always flakes out in big games like that. So for Jonas Ayew to have such a big game against that dude of all guys, pretty awesome, man. Also, I think about you, Joe, every year at March Madness. I'm like, he gets so much crap all year about loving basketball. And then this is the best sport, two sports days. Like, if it's not the best, it's like the top three for me from, like, opening day in the NFL, Super Bowl, and then today. Like, I know all dudes supposedly schedule their vasectomies for this time so they could just do nothing but watch basketball. So I missed out on that part. But, yeah, it's an amazing time for a sports fan.
Thank you, Adam, for the call. Appreciate it. I mean, hard to really tolerate the disrespect with the Masters coming up in a couple weeks from Adam there. But good stuff from Adam from Portland.
I will say, well, first of all, with Ayew was good for Tennessee last year. He just didn't work out against Edie. You know, if you remember, they were actually going to JP Estrella just because he's a little bit bigger body to try to, but that's just a matchup thing. You know, I mean, Ayew was a big part of that team last year. I thought it was a killer loss when they lost him, and we'll see. You know, I mean, like, they need to win. You know, if they don't win Saturday, that's obviously a disappointing season, and Akpara is going to have to really play well. I mean, UCLA has this kid, Ada Mara from Spain, who looks like a fifth grader, but he's 7'3". And I'm telling you, man, you know, he is going to, like, if he's back with them next year or with another college, he's going to, once he puts it all together, he's going to dominate. And he already, there's signs of it now. So they got to deal with that. I will also argue, though, I think the best 2 days, I've said this before, but I think the best 2 days of this tournament are easily the round of 32. Saturday and Sunday. I mean, look at the Saturday matchups, you know, because, like, you just have no, of course there will still be stinkers at any level of this tournament. That can happen, right? You can have a blowout in the championship game, but it's all awesome games, you know, in that round of 32.
Joe, a couple local teams in action today in the men's tournament. Vanderbilt taking on St. Mary's. We're going to get a little bit deeper into them in the 7 o'clock hour, but your initial impressions on their matchup, and then Lipscomb taking on Iowa State later today at 12:30 here local time. What do you make of those two games coming up later today?
They both can win. I picked Vanderbilt to win. You know, St. Mary's is, again, slow, grinding defense, one of the best defensive teams in the country, big. Vanderbilt's going to have to do some things in the post to help out. But, you know, they need to try to get that pace up. If you can get some stops and rebounds, get out and run. But I think it's, you know, it's a clash of styles. It's going to be a really, I think, a great game and a really interesting game. You know, Lipscomb, I mean, look, Lipscomb, when they get it cooking, they have one of the most potent offensive, like, their starting five, I think, is like top five in KenPom, like, lineups of, like, offensive efficiency. Like, they can really get it cooking, and they're going to have to, as we've talked about, Iowa State missing its, well, you know, one of its top three players, and Keyshawn Gilbert, for the whole tournament. Huge loss. They're still very good. I mean, they're still, like, take him out, they're still, to me, like, 4 or 5 seed quality team, you know? So Lipscomb's going to have to shoot the cover off the ball today. But, hey, that happens sometimes in this tournament. So watch out for those Bisons.
Watch out for them. Vanderbilt and St. Mary's coming up for what we would assume would be the right to play Alabama. We'll see what ends up happening on that front. And if Robert Morris has anything to say about that with the Crimson Tide later today. But Vanderbilt with a win today could be matched up against Alabama in the round of 32 coming up. A Preds loss last night, Joe, which is not necessarily groundbreaking news because that's happened quite frequently this year. A very pointed press conference from Andrew Brunette after the game in which he called out some of his players. We're going to get into that. Some interesting comments from Ryan O'Reilly after the game as well. All that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt women's basketball as the number 7-seeded Commodores take on number 10-seed Oregon in the NCAA Women's Tournament today at 4:30. Pre-game will begin at 4:15. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joe, another loss for the Preds last night. They lose 4-1 to the Anaheim Ducks. So, first off, they get swept this year by the Ducks. They lost all three matchups against Anaheim, and this is not necessarily the Anaheim Ducks team that went to the Western Conference Final against the Predators in 2017. So
they're not good. Very mighty.
Yeah, they're not very mighty. Not very good on that front. So you get swept by the Ducks. Predators are now 25-35-8 on the season. 68 games in, they got 14 left, and it is a march here to the finish. By the way, they got Toronto coming up tomorrow, St. Louis Sunday, Carolina Tuesday, and St. Louis again Thursday, Joe. So that's great. Got a lot of pretty good teams coming up here for the Predators, so we'll see what that looks like. You know, the loss at this point in the season, Joe, just kind of is what it is. It's another example of, you know, they got up 1-0, Stamkos scores, and then they did basically nothing the rest of the game, which has been the case far too often this year. And Andrew Brunette kind of looks like he's had enough based on the way his press conference went last night. Now, he has talked about with us, he talked about it yesterday on our show, Joe, you know, fully realizing that when you're out of it, which they are, it can be very difficult, particularly with guys who have been around for a long time, to manufacture some of that motivation and play out the string here. I think last night Brunette was very, very disappointed in what he saw from his team. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say about his team and their professionalism and or lack thereof after the game last night.
Yeah, it's challenging. It's been a challenging year. It just hasn't really, you kind of hoped, like we talked about this, that you'd kind of get a little better feeling and kind of build off of it, and we keep slipping. We get one, and you know, you win four in a row, feeling pretty good about your game, and you know, it's almost like this group, we don't see the little bit of danger, you know, and the next thing you know, we're back to ground zero again, and we're able to get any traction on an identity and on doing things a certain way. And when we do, sometimes I feel like we're okay, and then we're right back to where we started, and we're back to where we started again right now. You know, I think we got, what, 3 goals in the last 4 games. None of them really, you know, I thought maybe the in Anaheim game looked a little bit like us. The last, you know, some haven't really. So we have to find it. It's challenging. We got a lot of guys that haven't been in this situation with our veteran guys for a while. I think mentally it's a drain. It's hard. But they're going to be here a long time, or they have a long time on their contracts. And, you know, I think for them it's important that they set, and they're supposed to be our leaders, they have to set an example going a certain way. So our young guys see that one, we never want to be here again, but when we are here, we have to handle ourselves with a little bit more professionalism than we are right now.
So that was Brunette after the game last night, talking about how, you know, some of his players are going to be here for a long time, or at least they have some time on their contracts. Talks about how, you know, they need a little bit more professionalism from their leadership, guys who are supposed to be their leaders, than what they've seen lately. I thought some pretty pointed words last night in the postgame press conference from Brunett, Joe. What'd you make of what Andrew Brunett had to say there?
Well, I think especially, look, he understands it. He said it. We all know it. Like, the guys who are older, who have been through many, many runs to the playoffs and been in playoff series, like, that, it's hard for them. But professionalism is the word that stands out to me there. Professionalism? I mean, that's a big word. So, you know, I guess, you know, you could say, well, he's just talking about just playing at the highest level or whatever. But, like, I don't know. To me, that word can mean so many different things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the lineup last night. First off, there's not a whole lot of guys in there right now based on the injuries and stuff that they have. Like, Saros didn't play last night. So there's not a whole lot of guys in there that have, like, long-term expensive contracts. There was Marchessault, Shea, O'Reilly, Stamkos, and Forsberg. Like, that's basically what it was last
night. Yeah, so it's like, I mean, I know some Preds fans, like, would wish that, like, he was talking about the Captain Yossi, right, but he's not playing.
Yeah, he ain't out there. So, you know, I doubt very seriously, just from, you know, we're going to get to this here in just a few minutes. I doubt very seriously he's talking about Ryan O'Reilly. That's just my guess. Like, I don't think Ryan O'Reilly is the person he's referring to. It's hard for me to imagine that he's talking about Steven Stamkos, but I don't know. Maybe he is. But I thought that was pretty interesting. Like, I think he's clearly not happy with the approach that they have put on display out there. And look, they're a bad offensive team. There's no other way to put it. They're a bad offensive team. They've been a bad offensive team all year. And right now, on a four-game losing streak, they've scored 3 goals in the last 4 games. So, I mean, it's brutal out there to kind of just suffer through at this point. But, I mean, I think you can sense some clear disappointment there with the way that it's gone. And, you know, he talked after that about how, you know, he was a player and he understands. And this was a phrase that you don't really hear coaches use that often. But he, like, flat out admitted that he's like, there's nothing to play for right now. He's like, when you're out of it, he's like, and you have nothing to play for, it's hard. Like, I understand that. But he was like, you can't allow yourself to use that as an excuse. And, you know, we've talked about this. I think I don't know how much this is going to weigh into Barry Trotz's decision on Brunett after the year. But I would have to think it weighs some into it in terms of, like, how do these guys play out the string? Like, do they just fold? And they just, like, quit down the stretch here. And that can't reflect well on the coaching staff if that happens, right? And I'm not going to say that they quit last night, Joe, but some of the play in front of the net in particular defensively, I mean, they were soft. They were just totally soft last night. And that's not just me saying that. O'Reilly said that. Brunett said that in his post-game press conference. Like, they just got pushed around by an Anaheim team last night that, quite frankly, doesn't have much business pushing people around.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, again, you know, maybe it's irresponsible to speculate, but, you know, Shea has just had a bad year, you know? So I don't know. I mean, like, that just – the new guys, and, again, I guess they're also supposed to – I mean, I guess any of these veterans you could say are supposed to be leaders of this team, right? I mean, you know, typically new guys come in, there's already, like – leaders built into this team. Now Stamkos is kind of like, you expect that, right? And, yep. And like you said, I mean, it's hard to imagine he's talking about him. So I don't know. Shea, Marchessault.
Well, I will say, like, Marchessault last night, I think may fit into the mold here. Like, he had a play where, I mean, he's about, I don't know, 5 feet away from the red line at center ice. And rather than just getting there, I mean, they're on the end of a long shift. And rather than just, like, fighting to get there and dump the puck in to make sure you're not getting an icing, he just fires it down, and there's an icing. And after they've been out there for a minute, you know, his teammates are trying to get off and get off the ice for a change, and he just kind of lazily fires one down there for an icing. Now they got to go back in the defensive zone, get hemmed in the other way. Like, it's just little stuff like that that right now they're not doing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you talk about a slog ahead, man, you know, I mean, and like, that's the thing. It's like, how much does this stuff matter to Barry Trotz I guess to ownership too, but you know, in particular to Barry Trotz when it comes to evaluating the coaches. I mean, they all know the score, right? He certainly knows how difficult this is, and I'm sure Barry Trotz and Brunette have had conversations specifically about players, you know, who are or aren't, you know, kind of holding up the standard. But at the same time, like, you know, I don't know the answer, because I think Barry Trotz is already kind of being unconventional when it comes to management dealing with a coach in this league. But how much urgency do you think Brunette has here just to have, even again, if it's not winning a lot of these games, you know, looking like a hockey team that gives a crap?
Well, I think there's got to be some. And look, like, quite honestly, and I talked about this with some people last night after the game, you know, that sort of a press conference where he basically called people out last night, I probably wanted to see that in, like, November, right? like have a little bit more of that in November. And look, you know, Brunette typically, I mean, he's a pretty honest guy. Like, if you ask him something after the game, he'll talk about it. So it's not like he just sugarcoats stuff. But I thought last night, Joe, for maybe the first time in a while, he, like, went out of his way to call people out last night.
Yeah. So, obviously, and I did, you know, it didn't seem, like, overly emotional.
Yeah, he wasn't, like, seething or anything.
Yeah, he was kind of matter of fact with it. So, you know, I mean, look, if you're him, I mean, self-preservation is a thing right now. By the way, last night Rangers fans apparently are chanting "Fire Lavi" over there, so that's going well.
Was Vingan
for
in
him?
There?
What's that?
Was Vingan there, or was he innocent?
He
bystander?
Just pops up. Peter.
Peter, you think you're gonna get fired today?
But yeah, I mean, it, you know, if you're Brunette too, it's almost like, you know, you can't be done wrong here by these guys. But that's then it gets into the whole thing of, like, these players, like, do they look at this like they are, like, they have some role in whether he stays or goes, and how much does that motivate or not motivate them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, to that point, there's an interesting text on the text line that I think absolutely nails a concern that I would have after hearing some of that last night that we'll get into coming up next. Also hear from Predators forward Ryan O'Reilly, who basically, like, attacked himself in the post game last night. More of that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Preds lose again last night. Andrew Brunette sounding off on his team after the game, saying that they need to have a little bit more professionalism than what they're showing right now. Joe, there's a text here that I think is a really interesting point that I do kind of wonder about a little bit when I hear Brunette talk last night. I got a text that says, it's crazy to hear Brunette say that, but Trotz has emphasized culture with his roster choices for so long, shipping out Duchesne and Johansson, bringing in guys like Ryan O'Reilly. You know, I think a big part of what they've been trying to build here, Joe, over the last couple of years since Trotz has taken over, is kind of reestablishing that Predator way and that culture in the locker room. And Ryan O'Reilly's been the driving force behind that. We're going to get to some comments for him just in just a second. You know, obviously this thing has gone so far off the rails, more than anybody would have anticipated. One thing you didn't think you'd have to worry about with this group heading into the year, Joe, is lack of professionalism. So it was interesting to hear Brunette phrase it that way last night.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I understand, like, you know, I still don't feel really any differently about, like, Duchesne and Johansson in terms of it was necessary. I think Duchesne is a great example of a talented player who, if he's in a place where he's not leaned on to be a culture setter, it's fine.
Yeah.
Here, of course he had to be. And again, I mean, I like Matt Duchesne. You like Matt Duchesne, friend of the show.
Yep.
You know, but, like, like way too many people in that building griped about him to just ignore that, right? Now, I do think some of what Trotz said is coming back, you know, maybe they come back to bite him a little bit, right? But
it doesn't help that Shane's going to put up 80 points this year. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but no, look, it's all very fair with the culture stuff, because I can't sit here and say it's good right now. I quickly, this is a long text, but I thought Christina brought some fire. Maybe I'll read part of it. You know, she's saying, where was this 50, 40, 30 games ago, you know, calling out the veterans? Is he finally waking up? You know, why is he playing them? Sit him on the bench. Plus this BS line about nothing to play for. Seriously, they have a group of season ticket holders who have spent time and money on this team. If they want to quit, I'll sell the rest of my home seats to opposing fans. That's Christina. So some people pissed off, and they have every right to be.
Sure, of course you do. And look, I will say, you know, he did talk about after that answer, just in all fairness of, you know, they do have a, you know, they have a job to do, and it's like you're a professional hockey player and like going out there and playing with pride and all those things. But, yeah, like I understand what he's saying is like, I mean, they've looked at the standings for a while now and known that the playoffs are not a part of their future. And when you've got guys that have done a lot of winning in their career that expected to be in the playoffs this year, that's a tough pill to swallow. I think a tough mental hurdle to overcome. I mean, but honestly, Joe, like I had a little bit more sympathy for that against a team like St. Louis. Like St. Louis right now is in the grind. Like they are right. They are fighting for their life for the playoffs, and they're trying to make a push for that last spot. I mean, Anaheim was 9 points out heading into last night. Like they're not totally dead, but it's going to take a miracle for them to get in the playoffs. So, like, they should not really be a more quote unquote professional or desperate team than you are, given your situation last night. So, I just thought that part of it was interesting. We bring up O'Reilly, and we've talked about this before, Joe. Like, every time the Predators lose a game, he basically like takes the entirety of the blame and puts everything on himself. I think it was to an extreme level last night. He basically talked for like 3 minutes after the game, Joe, last night, and every other word was about how terrible he is. Here was part of what Ryan O'Reilly had to say after the game last night.
You've talked about this being, you know, one of the toughest stretches of your career just to deal with mentally. Like, what's the challenge for you and the guys to kind of grind through this here?
Yeah. I don't really know what to say. It's I want to be mad, but I feel like I'm not good enough to get mad right now. It's it's just, you know, as a group, yeah, I think we all know we have to be better, and we're not really doing much out there. I know for myself, I just feel like I'm skating and not accomplishing anything, and just, yeah, frustration. But yeah, I know I definitely have to, you know, be a better leader, find a way to do something here. And you know, I think the other leaders too, we have to, you know, group's not gonna compete if we aren't. And again, that's, you know, big onus on myself. It's pretty pathetic. So
says it's pretty pathetic, big onus on himself. Group's not going to compete if the leadership doesn't. He talked for 3 minutes yesterday, Joe. Said he wasn't good enough to be mad right now. Said that he feels like he hadn't made a good hockey play in weeks. Talked about how his leadership's been bad. Talked about how he just is not accomplishing anything out there right now. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly was just like taking the sword and repeatedly falling on it last night.
Yeah, man, he is like – he's kind of like, you know, Chris Farley in those interviews on SNL. He's like, Paul McCartney, remember when you said, you know, have you ever seen the movie Terminator? And he's like, oh, I'm so stupid. Stupid. So it's like, oh, man.
I'll be honest with you. Like, sometimes last night was a good example. Like, I know this about him now. So when, like, I go into a media setting with him, I know what's coming. Like, I know that he's getting ready to just absolutely torch himself. And he did it last night, and it got to the point where I couldn't make eye contact with him because, like, it's just – it's not funny, but it kind of is because, like, he just – you know that it's not all his fault, but he just shoulders the entirety of it.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, even with that stuff, it's like – I mean, everything at this point, it's all old,
yeah.
You know? Like, it's all – like. Anything anyone can say right now, there are plenty of people who are like, I can't. Oh, I don't even want to hear it right now.
I totally understand. Let's head back.
Go ahead.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Dwight to the program. Dwight, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how's it going? When I was through basic training in the Air Force a few years back, the motto of one of our squadrons that I went through was professionalism, which is doing the things you have to do to get your job done, doing them at a high level, because attitude and all that rubs off. How you do your job rubs off on everybody. When these guys were having to bench some of their players, was it a month ago, 2 months ago, when they were putting guys on the bench, you're a paid professional athlete. You should have enough pride in your job that you don't get benched. And people are asking, why would you bench, you know, a guy making $8 million a year? Well, you embarrass them. They're still kids at heart. Nobody wants to get put on the bench. So you bench them to embarrass them and try to light a fire under them to get them out there and do the things they need to do. With the way these guys have been playing, I mean, again, you're an adult and a pro. You shouldn't have to be benched. Maybe some of the guys they brought in aren't as good or didn't have the attitude that they needed. I don't really know what else to say about them. They're not good.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Dwight. Appreciate it. I mean, look, I think, Joe, there's 14 games left. So, like, the time for benching people is probably gone. I mean, if you're going to do that, you probably should have done that a while ago. And when everything's lost at this point for the season. And quite frankly, with the injury situation that not only they have, but Milwaukee has as well, they don't really have the luxury of benching people. Like, they're banged up. So the guys that can play got to go out there and play. But I certainly understand the sentiment.
Yeah, and look, it is a question of professionalism here moving forward. And it's interesting, too, because you got fans like Christina who are like, hey, man, like, I support you. We come to the games to, like, see you win, see you play well, see you care. And obviously there's also a lot of the fan base that's like, whatever you do, don't win.
Right.
You know, but these guys – I mean, again, this should be like everybody individually needs to just understand, like, you know, everybody's watching you and you got, you know, like, you got to go out the right way. And then, you know, then obviously the evaluation, the coaching staff happens with Barry Trotz.
We'll have Jared Stillman with us coming up next. We'll get into the Preds, the NCAA tournament, the Titans with Stilly. Lots to get into. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, the game.